This is my time. I'm on the rise. Can't hold me down. I'm too fly. This is my time.
It's time for Scrap Guy Solutions with your host, Jeremy Miller. Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to Scrap Guy Solutions, a podcast all about helping you make things happen. I'm your host, Jeremy Miller, and I want to thank you so much for listening. We truly appreciate you. We're getting more and more listeners with each new episode, and I'm learning more and more about how to become a podcast host with every new episode. So thanks again for listening, and feel free to provide feedback or criticism at scrapguysolutions.com or send me an email at scrapguysolutions@gmail.com. And I do want to apologize for the delay in publishing this episode. I'll be the first to say that it took longer than what I wanted. It took longer than I'd hoped for. But for anyone who follows politics in Minnesota, you would understand that the last few weeks of the legislative session consumed more time than I, or I think most others, had expected. It was a bit of a wild and crazy, but even more so, disappointing end to the 2024 legislative session here in Minnesota. I've said it before, and I'll keep saying it. Anytime you have one party in full control, I don't care which party it is or what level it's at, but when you have one party in control, you lose your checks and balances. You don't get the compromise. You don't get the working together. You don't get the differing viewpoints to get the quality of product that most people want, that most people expect. Even with one party in control, the legislature here in Minnesota took things to the very last minute. And not only did the legislature take things to the last minute, which was 12 o'clock midnight, by the way, but it was a pretty ugly finish to the 2024 legislative session. It really didn't have to end the way it did. And even though I'm a rank and file member of the minority party now, I've held multiple leadership positions over my years in the Senate, and I strongly believe that there was a better way to wind down this session. In fact, I think there was a path to finish the session much more smoothly and in a much more cooperative, bipartisan manner, and in a way to accomplish even more for the people of Minnesota. But again, what do I know? I'm just RNF, or rank and file. I do try to keep politics separate from this podcast, so I don't want to get into any further detail other than it was a chaotic and disappointing end of the session. And the last day wasn't the only day that things went long. There were several days during the last few weeks that the Senate went late into the night or even early into the morning. And when I say early into the morning, I mean like 5 or 6 a.m. I struggled with this for a couple reasons. First, I've never really been a late night person, and I'm someone who really likes to get my 7 or 8 hours of sleep at night. And going late into the night, it's not good for anyone, and it's certainly not good for transparency. Now, I'm very much a routine guy, and everything was completely thrown off those last few weeks, more so than I'd ever experienced during my 14 years in the Senate. Now, as I said earlier, I like to get my sleep at night, and during those last few weeks of the legislative session, my sleep routine was all messed up and it was driving me nuts. And when you go late at night or early in the morning, like 5 or 6 in the morning, it makes it really, really difficult to work out at 5 or 6 in the morning, which is what I'm used to doing when the legislature's in session. I still got some workouts in, but not nearly to the intensity level that I wanted to get them in. It was mostly just to get the blood flowing and to work up a little bit of a sweat. But I tell you what, the lack of sleep just absolutely drained me. I had very little energy in the gym. But after being home for a couple weeks now, it feels awesome to get back into a regular routine. I'm getting more sleep. I've been spending more time with Janelle and the boys, mostly at the ballpark now that baseball season is in full swing. And it sure feels good to be back at the scrapyard on a more routine and a more consistent basis, especially with some really exciting things going on here at Miller Scrap and Disposal. I'm working on a deal that has the potential to expand our scrap business, both on the brokerage end and our business here at Miller Scrap and Disposal. In addition, we are celebrating the 1 year anniversary of Miller Disposal, which is our local trash business, and we are running a really, really cool promotion to celebrate the 1 year anniversary. It's hard to believe that our Miller Disposal trash business officially launched a year ago. It took lots of time, lots of effort, lots of hard work, lots of research, and many, many, many long days to launch the business. And if you don't believe me, just ask my wife. There were several days where Janelle would text or call me asking if I was coming home from work. And I remember saying, yes, I'm coming home soon. And she would say, that's what you said an hour ago. I was so focused on getting the Miller Disposal business launched that I literally would lose track of time. And now we're celebrating our 1 year anniversary of providing local trash service to the communities of Winona, Goodview, and Minnesota City. And in an effort to celebrate and show our appreciation to our customers, we are giving away over $1,000 through the Miller Scrap and Disposal Big Money Giveaway. Yep, you heard that correctly. We are doing a big money giveaway to say thank you to our customers. Our residential customers will be eligible for a $100 monthly drawing each month through November. And in December, we will have one final drawing for $500. Yep, you heard that right. $500 will be that last drawing. And even though this isn't an ad, I probably have to cover myself legally by saying there is no purchase necessary, and you can visit millerscrap.com for the official rules. But the bottom line is we are giving away over $1,000 to say thank you to our customers. And for our more local listeners, Trinona is coming up on June 9th. Trinona is a local triathlon here in Winona that I've been training for. Well, training for is giving myself probably more credit than I deserve right now, because I'll be the first to admit that I have fell way behind in any sort of triathlon training during the last few weeks of the session. But not only does it feel good to be home, but it feels good to be working out on a more consistent basis. And one of the reasons I signed up for the Trinona Triathlon was to continue to keep me motivated to keep training. And again, I sort of lost a little bit of that during the last few weeks of the legislative session, but I have had the opportunity to get a few runs in and a few swims in here the last couple weeks. I have not gotten on the bike yet, but depending on the boys' baseball schedule here the next week or so, I am hoping to get on the bike in the very near future. With all of that said, I am super excited about this episode of Scrap Guy Solutions, because it's an interview with two people who have been making things happen for decades. Jerry and Pat Pappenfuss have been active business leaders and community volunteers here in the Winona area for many years, and they are two people that I very much look up to. During this episode, you will hear how two farm kids from different parts of the state met right here in Winona, fell in love, got married, grew a business together while raising a family, and to this day continue to be actively involved in our community. Jerry and Pat have been honored with many awards over the years because of their success in business and their involvement in the community, including being inducted into the Minnesota Broadcasters Hall of Fame in 2006. And their induction bio from 2006 on the Minnesota Broadcasters Hall of Fame page talks about how Jerry started his radio career in sales at KAGE-AM right here in Winona, Minnesota, where his office was on a card table in the hallway. Talk about my kind of guy. Within a few months, Jerry became the station's manager and eventually owner. And he and Pat grew the Results Radio Group into one of the most important broadcasting companies in the entire state of Minnesota. The bio goes on to say that the organization owned and operated multiple radio stations in Winona, Blue Earth, Fergus Falls, and Perham. It also states that Jerry and Pat were committed to small market radio and recognized that broadcasters must be connected to the community and its needs. And based on what I know, I would say that 2006 bio from their induction into the Minnesota Broadcasters Hall of Fame accurately describes Jerry and Pat Papenfuss, a couple I've gotten to know very well over the past 15 years. Jerry and Pat played a critical role in helping me get elected to the Minnesota Senate in 2010 and have been incredible mentors and friends of Janelle and mine ever since. This power couple has been a driving force in our community, the state of Minnesota, and far beyond for decades. And they have done it by working hard, communicating with each other, and pushing others to be the best that they can possibly be. Well, let's get to the interview. So I am super excited to have Pat and Jerry Papenfuss here at Miller Scrap and Disposal Studio. Pat and Jerry, welcome to the Scrap Guy Solutions podcast. We are so happy to have you guys here.
We're happy to be here.
Yes. Thank you for the opportunity.
Now, I thought that I knew the two of you fairly well until I started doing some research for today's interview. I knew the two of you were successful business owners, especially in the radio business. That's how I met you guys. I knew that the two of you were and continue to be incredibly generous in many ways, including volunteering your time to work with local nonprofits and making many, many generous donations to many different organizations in the community and beyond. You have been mentors of mine for many years, and I have a tremendous amount of respect for both of you. But what I didn't know, and what I am hoping to learn today, is how it all started. Where you grew up, what was your childhood like, how you got started in the radio business, how you worked together to build a thriving business, how you complemented each other at the radio station, and how you complemented each other at home. And I'm sure that we'll learn even more during this interview, which I've been looking forward to for several weeks. So again, thank you both for being here. And let's get into it. Pat, we're going to start with you. Where did you grow up, and what are some of your memories from your childhood?
That was a long, long time ago, so I remember maybe not all the details. I grew up on a farm about 30 miles west of the Twin Cities. I had four brothers and three sisters. I was the second in line. We all worked hard. If you're on a farm, you do that. We had a large garden with eight kids. You need a large garden. And it took a lot of time to take care of that garden. We also had an orchard with apple and plum trees. We had dairy cows, pigs, chickens, ducks. Now, this isn't a real big farm. It was only 105 acres. We couldn't afford to go to the store much. Liz is my older sister, and I baked white bread, dark bread, and sweet rolls each Saturday morning. Mostly we ate whatever we had on the farm. My mother and Jerry's mother cooked the same way, so no adjusting for us.
So that was easy for you guys, huh?
Yeah. I peeled potatoes for the noon meal every day. I helped with the cooking and cleaning in the house. Liz and I helped our dad with chores such as milking and throwing down the silage and hay until our brothers were old enough to do those chores. Liz entered the School Sisters of Notre Dame. She taught at several schools, then got her doctorate in theology. She moved to New Orleans and taught in the seminary for a little over 20 years, later worked at various jobs there, and she died a few years ago. My mother worked very hard. She was a teacher. A week before I left for Marquette for college, my youngest brother was born. Back in those days, you couldn't teach under those circumstances. They had rules. In college, I majored in journalism and minored in political science. And at that time, most of high school graduates got married within 2 years of graduating from high school.
Within 2 years of graduating from high school?
Yeah, a lot wow. different than today.
A lot different.
And when I graduated from Marquette, I got a job at the Winona Daily News. So that's about what it was like growing up.
That's incredible. Jerry, how about you? Tell us a little bit about where you grew up and what are some of your fondest childhood memories?
Well, I was born in Winona, and when I was 7 years old, the family moved to a farm up on Garvin Heights. And then later we moved to a farm at Wilson. And I went to grade school at District 860, at District 888. So I had 8 years in a one-room school. I graduated from Winona Senior High, and I farmed with my father for about 8 years.
So you farmed with your father for about 8 years after high school?
Right.
Okay.
And we had a pretty big operation, but we had a pretty bad business model, and it just didn't work. And so we sold out. I went into the Army, and I came back and went to St. Mary's College. And I was also selling insurance while I was going to college. And I wasn't a very good insurance man, but I learned a lot. So that's a little history.
I can't believe that you weren't a good insurance guy, knowing what I know of you. That surprises me.
Well, you have to learn this stuff, you know.
You do have to. So it was a good learning experience. You did say that.
Exactly.
So how did the two of you meet?
We met in the cathedral. We went to breakfast in Winona, and they put the press at one table. They said, you sit here, you sit there. They said, Jerry sits here, you sit here, right across the table from him. That's how we met.
Well, there you go. And how long did the two of you date before you got married?
About 6 months.
About 6 months. Holy smokes. They didn't waste any time. Good on you guys.
My mother said, well, see, she's a teacher. She said, you can get married Thanksgiving vacation, Christmas vacation, or Easter. So we said Thanksgiving sounds fine.
There you go. Well, good for you guys.
You know, I tell this story that God looked down on Winona one day and he saw this 30-year-old kind of just going around not really knowing what he wanted to do. And he looked over at Marquette in Milwaukee and he saw this beautiful, attractive, hardworking, smart young lady, and he said, I think I'll send her to Winona and see what happens.
Jerry, you and I have a lot of things in common, and one of them is we are both fortunate enough to have married up. So
yes, you are.
We're very lucky in that regard.
We certainly are.
So you two have achieved a tremendous amount of success over the years, including working together in the radio business, and my understanding is that you are quite the dynamic duo, but it's not something that just happens on its own. It's not something that you just inherit. It's not something that came easy. In fact, I'm sure it's quite the opposite. Now, I know you from being involved in the radio business. Is that the first business that you guys did together? And if so, how did you get started? And what was that? What was the process like? How did you get involved in the radio business, and how long ago was it that you first started out?
Well, I think that was, I started in the radio business the year before we got married, and I was an active JC member, and we conducted radio days at KAGE, and
was KAGE the only station then?
That we had, yeah. There was KWNO was, of course, the other station, but we sold advertising, and then we aired the ads on that weekend. And after the weekend was over, the owner of the station offered me a job, and so I took the job. And in about 6 months, I was the manager, and so we kind of went from there.
So you started out working. What were you doing at the radio station when you first started working there?
Selling ads.
So you were selling ads, so you were a salesman, and then how did you move up in the radio business, and then how did you eventually own the station or buy the station?
Well, at the time I went to work for them, the ownership of the station had just changed, and three gentlemen from Monroe, Wisconsin bought KAGE. One was the chiropractor that had money. One was the accountant that managed the money. And the other was Jim Getz, a young entrepreneur. And their idea was to build a group of radio stations. And so they built a station in Lincoln, Nebraska, and one in Pontiac, Illinois. And then I ended up overseeing those stations in addition to KAGE. And then a couple of years later, the accountant was drowned in a riptide in Mexico. That's terrible. And so they decided to disband, and Jim bought half of Winona, and I bought the other half.
And approximately what year was that? Do you remember? Or about how long did you own the radio stations?
Well, we bought half probably in about 1965, and then we bought the other half and built KAGE-FM in 1970. So we owned the stations in Winona then at 1970.
Okay. And then, Pat, at what time did you get involved in the business? You guys have, how many children do you have?
Three.
Three children. That's what I thought. So you get married. How long after you guys get married do you start having children?
Oh, we got married in November, and Anne was born the next October.
Okay.
And then, so they're spaced at about a year and a half.
Okay. Same with us. Except we got a 2-for-1 deal with the twins. But so you're at home raising the girls. Jerry's at work selling the ads at the radio station, moving into a management position, and then eventually ownership. At what time did you join Jerry in being involved at the radio station?
It was gradually. When someone needed help with what they were doing, their job was a little too big for them, I would go over and help them a little. The Minnesota Broadcasters Association recommended using computers for various jobs. So I learned to use a computer. Someone had a CISO that got in, and that was used to make the log that told the announcers what went on all day long and what advertising there was, and the billing. And I went to some seminars about hiring and firing and payroll. So I had to keep learning. And I worked with the announcers and the clerical staff on one side of the building. Jerry worked with sales on the other half of the building. So we didn't see each other very much during the day.
Well, you know, Jeremy, when our kids were growing up, I'm very proud of the fact that Pat was able to be a stay-at-home mom until the kids went to college. But that doesn't mean she wasn't busy. I was gone an awful lot, out of town and in the evenings. And so in a lot of cases, just like Janelle, I think, Pat was both the mother and the father. But in addition to that, she was very active in the community. She was on the school board at Cotter. She was a board member at the chamber, and she's a president of the auxiliary. And then after the kids got to college, then she came to work at the station full time, and she was the operations manager for all five of our Winona stations. And so she actually had the toughest job at the station.
Well, but
for many years.
Each manager at each location made the decisions locally. So they were local radio stations. What I was in charge of was more general things and payroll, taking care of that.
Yep, and I'm sure helping them, or at least in making sure they made the right decisions at some point. And yeah, Jerry, you hit it right on the head. Janelle, very similar to your situation, it sounds like. Janelle, actually, for my first several years in the Senate, Janelle had a full-time job. She worked at Winona Health, managed a department over there. I was either here at the scrapyard or up at the Capitol, and here's Janelle raising three boys under 2 years old while I'm on the go and also working full-time. I don't know how the heck we did it. I don't know how the heck she did it, but
We got help from others when, for a while, it was for a few years, one of the neighbor girls who was in high school would come into our house for an hour after school. So she would watch the children. I would either start on supper or else I would go in the bedroom and lay down and take a little nap.
Sure. Yep. And we did that too. We had some help from local college students that would help Janelle out every once in a while. And Janelle, like Pat, like you, Jerry, is also very involved in the community, like myself. And a lot of times the spouse doesn't get the credit that they always deserve.
That's right.
And sometimes, at least in my case, you know, I might be in the newspaper, or I might be at the Capitol, or I might be doing a social media video promoting the business. But what I like to say is Janelle is the president of the Miller household, and she's the chief manager of the Miller household. She's the one that keeps, not only keeps the train on time, but keeps the train on the tracks. And that's not always easy to do, especially with three boys at home. And I am so proud of Janelle, and I can hear how proud you are of each other and how well you both worked together. And Janelle doesn't know this yet, but tonight, actually, she was just voted president of the board of directors at the Winona Family YMCA. So
wow,
I am pretty darn proud of her, and she has a training today in Wausau, Wisconsin. So she's not going to be home tonight when the boys and I get home. So we're going to go get her some flowers, and then we're going to present them to her and just tell her and show her the appreciation that we have for her, because we honestly tell her a lot, but we probably don't show her enough, and we're going to do that tonight, so we're pretty excited. But I hear a lot of similarities just in how you were involved, Pat, in the business. Maybe in the beginning not directly involved or didn't have an official title, but like Janelle and I own a restaurant together, and we have a real estate portfolio together, and Janelle is very involved in both, yet she doesn't have an official manager title, or her title is president of the Miller household, chief manager of the Miller household. I have some experience working in a family business. My brothers and I are the fourth generation to be involved here at Miller Scrap and Disposal. We work together with my dad. We have a team of over 20 dedicated employees now. In fact, two of my brother's boys just recently started working here at the scrapyard and in the disposal business. So we're now actually into the fifth generation. And there are certainly a lot of positive things about working in a family business, but there are also some challenges sometimes. And what I want to ask you two is when you started working together, and I know, Pat, you said sort of in the beginning you managed one half of the radio station and Jerry maybe managed the other half, but as you guys each got more involved, tell us about, were there any challenges working together in the business? And then how did you separate that work, family life? How did you have that work, family life balance? How did you separate work from family life at home?
Well, that's a pretty big question. And just a couple of things maybe to set the stage. First of all, Pat and I never had a disagreement about finances. And, you know, that is a downfall of many families. But when we got married, we decided that we would save 10% of our money. And we did that, and soon we were able to buy a house. But in terms of the business, everything we owned was mortgaged. And never once did Pat complain about signing another mortgage or whatever. So I think it's just maybe for others, you know, and communication is so critical. And we've learned to communicate. And I think, you know, if you can do a few of those things, you just make life a lot easier for yourself.
Absolutely. I can't agree more. There are very few things that are more important than communication when it comes to working together, whether it's in a business, whether it's in politics or everyday life. I can't tell you how important I have found communication to be. You don't know what you don't know, and the other person doesn't know what they don't know, and you got to communicate and work through any challenges or obstacles that may come up. Now, you guys have built a reputation of being involved in the community, being very philanthropic in the community and beyond the community. Pat, why is it important for you and Jerry to be so generous with your time and your money in the community?
When Jerry and I were growing up on farms, we observed that neighboring farmers helped each other. They even bought equipment so that they would do this job with a piece that this one owned and then the other, and they worked together. I remember one day when we were going out to get some hay on the hay rack. This was before bales, long time ago. And it was threatening rain, so we were out, going out to the field to get that. And this neighbor young man came running down the driveway and jumped on the hay rack and said, "I'm going to help you." That's the way they acted as neighbors. And that was the culture that we grew up in. You don't wait for someone else to would you help me? You say, "I'll help you." I think Winona has some of the same culture. We think Winona needs to maintain that culture. And it's, you do it in various ways, just like when we go out for a walk every day. And we say hello to the people, whether we know them or not, because they're not a fence post here. They're a person. And they're so nice and friendly and say hello to us. But it's just reaching out to each other.
Well, you guys do so much in the community, and I can't tell you, just from my perspective, how much I appreciate everything you do. You guys have a passion to give back, a passion to get involved, a passion to help make a difference. And I know myself and many others in the community are so appreciative of everything that you do. Now, Jerry, when you get involved in an organization or when you get involved to help out a cause, you're always willing to help. Always willing to help. But you are known to push them. You challenge them. You challenge individuals. You challenge organizations to be the best they can be. Trust me, I know from experience. But you have this ability to motivate individuals, to motivate organizations to work harder, to dig deeper. You help them believe and you help them achieve more than what they have originally thought that they could achieve on their own. Why is it important for you, Jerry, to push others, to challenge individuals, to challenge organizations to dig deeper and to achieve more?
Well, you know, Jeremy, there are so many challenges. You know, Winona is just such a great place. But even here, we have all kinds of challenges. But we have lots of tools. We have good organizations. We have smart people. But sometimes when people are working outside of their business, they're reluctant to make decisions. And it's easier to say, well, let's put that off till next meeting, or let's take care of that next meeting. And so what people like I really have a responsibility to do is to do as you have just outlined very well, and be, if for lack of a better word, aggressive at a meeting or when you're talking to people in an organization, and push them to make their decisions now. It helps to get things done.
Well, I think aggressive sometimes is an understatement, but what I would say is, you do a fantastic job, Jerry, at holding people accountable, keeping people on their toes, and forcing them to make a decision. And whether that decision's right or wrong, make a decision and then move on. And if it, for some reason, is the wrong decision, then learn from it and don't make the mistake again, but learn from it and move on. And I can tell you that there is no doubt in my mind that I am a better person. I'm a more accountable person. I have gotten more things done in life because of some of the lessons that I've learned from both you and Pat. The working together, the communication, holding people accountable, making a decision. Sometimes that's the biggest problem that a lot of people or individuals or organizations have is they'll have a meeting and then another meeting and then another meeting. This is especially true in government. More meetings, but no decisions ever get made. For goodness sakes, make the decision, act on it, and move on. And you do an absolutely awesome job, an incredible job of not only getting involved, but helping individuals and helping organizations achieve more because you hold them accountable. And I know I am forever grateful for the two of you for all that you have done to help me become the person that I am today. Now, you sold your radio station a few years ago. You're retired from business in general, but there are absolutely no signs of either one of you slowing down anytime soon, and I think it's absolutely awesome. I think you guys might be busier now than you were when you had the radio stations, but what are some of the things that you enjoy doing, especially since the time that you've retired?
Well, going back a little, we decided you don't worry about anything because worrying just wears you out. You go do something about it.
You know what we say at the Miller House, Pat, is don't sweat the small stuff. Yeah. You know, there life happens. Things happen. Sometimes there are things that we can control. Other times there are things that we can't control. And you got to focus on the things that you can control, but don't sweat the small stuff.
Yeah. Let's see, with retiring, we kind of continued doing the same sort of things. If you saw something that needed to be done, you did it. Or you decided, nope, we're not going to do that. Or I'm not going to do it. And we can disagree with each other, and that's just fine. We're slower as we get older, but things still need to be done. So we can't just stop just because we're older. You have to have a reason to get up in the morning.
Well, like I said, there are no signs of the two of you slowing down. Jerry, what are some of the organizations locally that you and Pat are involved in or that you help support? And what are some of the reasons why you support some of these organizations?
Well, we both understand the importance of a good education. And so we have scholarships at St. Mary's and Marquette and Winona State and Southeast. So that's one area. There are so many organizations in Winona that we are part of now or have been part of over the years, and they all have a purpose. We just try to support as many of these organizations as we can. If we can't help physically, we write them a check. Or if we can be on a committee or be in a leadership position, we do that. I've spent a lot of time at Southeast. Last year, I was co-chair of a fundraising for Family and Children's Center. I was on the board of directors at the foundation board at St. Anne. Foundation board at Winona Community Foundation. And years ago, I was chairman of the Planning Commission, chairman of the Winona Area Industrial Development Association, exalted ruler at the Elks, and been active in national and regional associations too.
Well, you two certainly are making things happen and continue to make things happen, but even more importantly, you guys are difference makers. You are difference makers in the community. And anyone listening who is going to come to Pat and Jerry for a donation, I'm just going to warn you now, they might write you a check, but they're also going to hold you accountable for writing that check. So be ready for that. Well, there you have it, folks. I think we can all learn a few things for what it takes to make things happen from Pat and Jerry Papenfuss. I just can't thank the two of you enough for being here. And I just said it, but I think we have to say it again. Thank you so much for helping make a difference in our community. You are two people who have made things happen your whole life, but you have made things happen with hard work, with believing in yourself, with helping others be the best that they can be. And that's how the two of you have helped make things happen in our community, in your business, and far beyond. So thank you so much for being here. Thank you for being a difference maker in the community. Is there anything else that the two of you would like to share before we wrap things up?
Well, Jeremy, we couldn't end this without saying thank you to you and Janelle and to Miller Scrap. You certainly are community leaders in every respect. And we appreciate that because we try to do the same thing. And it's, for us, it's so great that the people, you and Janelle of your generation, are the new leaders. And we see sometimes not the leadership that we would like to see in the younger generations. And so you the two of you are great role models. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. And coming from you and Pat, that means a tremendous amount, more than you'd ever know. So thank you so much for that.
What an interview. Jerry and Pat are two of the most impressive and two of the most generous people I have ever met. And talk about a power couple, but a very modest power couple. Jerry and Pat Pappenfuss both grew up on farms in different parts of the state. They met after college, built an incredibly successful radio business that included multiple radio stations across the state, all while raising three kids, and to this day, they continue to be active volunteers and supporters of the community where they have lived for decades. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, Pat has been in Winona since graduating from Marquette University, and Jerry has lived here his entire life. And how did they do it? How do they continue to do it? They did it by betting on themselves. They did it by putting in the hard work, by putting in the effort. They did it by building a team and empowering that team. They did it with good communication with each other and those around them. They did it by pushing and ultimately motivating others to be the best that they could be. They did it by doing what it takes to make things happen. And when I say a modest power couple, I mean very modest. Jerry and Pat do not live any sort of flashy lifestyle, but rather a more low-key and under-the-radar lifestyle. After all, it is the Winona way. Well, that's it for this episode of Scrap Guy Solutions. Thanks again for listening, and please subscribe and give us a like, a follow, a share, a thumbs up, and anything else to help spread the word about the podcast. Also, please check out the website, scrapguysolutions.com, and feel free to send me an email with comments, ideas, or even criticism. Or if you would like to maybe be a guest on the podcast sometime. My email is scrapguysolutions@gmail.com. And most importantly, make today your day. Figure out what you want, then get started, stick with it, and go make it happen. Peace out. This is my time. I'm on the rise. Can't hold me down. I'm too fly. This is my time. Ready to shine.